You know, for the last few weeks, we've been sharing moments around the manger. And today is no exception. As we think beyond, think about Christmas. And Christmas is over. So now what? We read in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, we read once again, starting in verse 15, going through verse 20. A part of our traditional Christmas readings, we've read from it before, but I want us to look at what this may have to say to us about Christmas now that it's over. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. He sat there looking around at all the boxes that had been torn open, at all the wrapping paper and the bows that were strewn from one end of the room to the other, out into the hallway, and even into one of the kids' rooms. Children had already broken a couple of the toys that they had received. They just didn't make them like they used to. One only lasted about 3 minutes. And then it was, "Dad, it broke." The youngest seemed to find more to play with in the wrapping and the boxes than in all those expensive toys that were sitting around. But now everyone had kind of eaten their fill and they were sitting down, snoozing. Or the children had gone in the other rooms and they were either taking a nap or playing. And so he sat and he thought, is this all there is? The excitement seems to be gone. No more excitement once the papers have been torn off the packages, the bows have been thrown, and the gifts have been opened, and the thank yous expressed. Sure, this Christmas day and the few days leading up to it, especially Christmas Eve, seem to be awfully bright. There was a lot of laughter, a lot of love, more food than could ever be eaten, gifts, and a sense of wonder in the eyes of the children, even the 80-year-old children. The song of the angel was still echoing in his ears. The excitement, which had seemed like it would never end, now seemed to be gone. Those spirits seemed to be higher than the days before leading up to Christmas. And though the Christmas event seemed to energize and inspire so many folks, especially around Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, now things were quiet. And as he sat back, he thought, okay, Christmas is over. Now what? Well, it was always taking down the tree. Not a task that he thoroughly enjoyed. Putting up all the ornaments, picking up all the different decorations off of tables and shelves and the floor. Well, at least the snow people could stay out for a while. It was still winter. But that didn't seem like much fun. Well, there was New Year's Eve. But that was still just another day. Another time to do just what had been done at Thanksgiving and Christmas, to pile on more pounds. Was that all there was? Now what? You know, that may not be such an uncommon question. Especially these days, but you know, it was not really an uncommon question many, many centuries ago. In fact, when we look at the text, we can see that that question was there in the response of the shepherds after the angels and after going and visiting. So now what? Well, you know, we do have New Year's Eve. And then we get to go back to the same jobs, the same old schoolrooms, the same daily tasks. Well, you know, Easter's coming, so I guess we can look forward to that, right? And then there's July the 4th, and then next Christmas again. But is that it? Perhaps the more important question that we need to ask is, the Christmas celebration is over, but am I the same person when I go back to work or to school or to doing other things? You know, the shepherds didn't have very glamorous jobs. In fact, they were considered among the most menial of laborers in their day. And yet they had experienced the wonder of Christmas firsthand. And then they were faced with the question, okay, now what? We've heard these angels. We've gone and seen this baby. Now what? We got to go back to the sheep. Somebody's got to take care of them. We got to go back to being seen by most folks as pretty much nobodies in society. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. But notice not only what they did, but how they answered the question and did their jobs. They went back to work, but the Bible says that they went with joy and excitement, telling everyone of the wonder of the child. They didn't just tell Mary and Joseph and the babe and the midwives and whatever animals may or may not have been there. They didn't just go tell them what they had heard. But the text says that they went away telling everyone what they had seen and what they had heard. And why? They were still shepherds. They were still menial laborers. They still had the same tasks. Why did they do that? Because they were not the same persons as they were just the day before. After experiencing the Christ child, they were truly different. They took to heart the message of peace and sharing that peace that the angels had given. They took to heart practicing goodwill. They took to heart the message of the presence of a Savior, not just for them, but as we read a while ago, as Simeon sang, a Savior for all the people. And they moved forward in spite of their everyday circumstances, in spite of the drudgery to which they might be returning. They moved forward because they were changed. That encounter changed their entire perspective in facing everyday events and caused them to do it with an inner joy that could not be contained. So what? They had no way to go but up, right? Besides, they got to see the angels. They didn't have to deal with my world. Well, in spite of strained economies, even under the Romans, in spite of occupying armies, in spite of rampant thievery and robbers along the roads, and all kinds of other social ills, those shepherds moved forward anyway because of their encounter with the Christ child that truly changed them and changed their way of living. It wasn't just a feeling. It wasn't just so many words. But it really changed them. And they knew the change. And they showed that change, even as mere shepherds or clerks, bankers, teachers, secretaries, students, homemakers, retired persons, regardless of what position they might have been in or might have attained, because they knew that change, they were able to perform those tasks in a different way, with a different sense of joy and expectation. So once again, the question comes, Christmas is over. Now what? Or perhaps, Christmas is over. Am I the same? If Christmas has really changed us, now what? If it hasn't, we go back to the same drudgery and the same way. But if it's truly changed us, now what? I think there's several things that we find with which to answer this, some of it in the text. First of all, we can join with the shepherds in the wonder of it all, and with the Magi who came later and experienced a light from Christ that changed them. And we can allow that light of wonder to radiate from us instead of trying to hide it inside. That's the first thing we can do if we have truly been changed by our encounter with Christmas, with the Christ child. We can allow that wonder and that light to radiate from us rather than keep it inside and only pull it out when we're facing darkness. Secondly, we've come through a time where we wished, and I put quotation marks around that, we have wished people good cheer and goodwill. We have regularly uttered the phrase Merry Christmas with a smile, maybe even a sense of joy, but did we really feel it deep down inside? If we're different from our encounter with Christmas, then we will share the great message of Christmas with sincerity. With sincerity. Not just because it's the thing to say or the thing to do. And we will share it with sincerity, not just at Christmas, but even in January, in July, and next December, and each month in between. Because if that sincerity is real, we can't contain it. And if we share that message with sincerity sometime other than just at Christmas, when the world expects it, then perhaps the darkness and the dark places in our world will find some light from the light of life. A third thing that we can do, although these kind of dovetail with each other, if the Christmas encounter has truly changed us, is to make sure that our daily living and our Sunday living are not vastly different, but are at least similar. You know, far too often, Christians live out of boxes. We do. We live out of boxes. We have a Sunday box, which contains what we're going to wear, what we're going to say, the facial expression we'll have. A Monday box, which is far too often different from the Sunday box, which contains how we're going to approach work or school or whatever else on Monday. And a Tuesday box, and a Wednesday box, and a Thursday, and a Friday, and a Saturday. And to go along with all those boxes, some of us even have so many boxes of shoes we don't know what to do with. But we live out of boxes. We box and compartmentalize our lives so much. And we keep those boxes separate so many times. And not just clothing, but the very spirit with which we approach the day. And the makeup that we apply before going out for the day and facing the world. The New Testament strongly implies that the shepherds went back with a changed approach to life, to job, to everything each and every day, not just on worship days. We're not to live our Christianity like boxed lunches. Our Christianity is to be lived Sunday to Sunday. Each and every day. And if the Christmas encounter changed us, truly, then we will work that much harder to take the things out of the boxes, to mix them together, because we should live the same way Tuesday that we did Sunday. Christmas is a time when pleas are made and many millions are collected to help those who are in need, and not just in foreign lands, but even in the angel trees, in the grocery store, and other places. And we often feel good about doing that, and it is good. But if Christmas has truly changed us, we won't be satisfied by just doing Christmas good in December. We need to remember that Jesus went around consistently doing good. And if we are His followers, then we are to do Christmas good all year long. The opportunities are there. But will we do more than just see them? Will we do them? And therein lies the greater value and virtue than merely doing something at Christmas. It's great that we do things at Christmas, but far too often, once Christmas is over, all those folks that we helped fall right back through the cracks until the next Christmas. It may cost us, but the possibilities for deeper joy, even for ourselves, are even greater when we do Christmas good all year long. But you know, there's more to the now what question. Doing the other items can be part of any philanthropist's way. But what helps us to be different as Christians? Our approach to Christmas living must also involve contemplation. So many people in the world today simply act or react without thinking about living. I mean, we see that every day. And it's not just the ones that react and go out and shoot people in malls and schools and other things. But it's a lack of discipline in a lot of areas of life. People simply act without contemplating. And yet we're told that Mary pondered all of this stuff in her heart. Unfortunately, Christians are among some of the worst offenders when we don't contemplate. We simply act or react. It's no wonder that we're often caricatured as having small brains when it comes to religious matters or social matters. We fail to see the impressive sunrise or sunset because we're in such a hurry to get to work or school or to get home. We barely even genuflect at contemplative prayer with our short and sweet blessings or bedtime notions. We claim to be people of the book and rarely read anything other than the short favorite passages or that which is printed in the Sunday school book, generally on Saturday night or Sunday morning before the Sunday school lesson. And to study hard and raise tough questions, well, those thoughts rarely cross our minds. Yet the Christmas child said later on, if we would love God and follow Him, we would do so with our mind as well as our heart. So if the Christmas encounter has truly changed us, then we are to take the serious study of the book seriously. To do any less is to belittle it and the one who speaks of it. And that involves commitment. Commitment to read, commitment to study, commitment to be present in Sunday school and worship, and to come on time with anticipation and preparation. And finally, if the Christmas encounter has changed us, the now what question means that we will move ahead in living with a spirit of continual Christmas. As one writer puts it, the fires on the radiant hearth of Christmas should never be allowed to go out. Christmas is not a one-chapter story, but a serial. And the serial should have 364 chapters of Christmas cheer, Christmas kindness, Christmas fellowship, and Christmas joy. And since 2008 is a leap year, there should be 365 more. Christmas is over. Now what? No. If we truly are different because of Christmas, Christmas is never over. Christmas will lead us to join with the shepherds and the magi in the wonder and the light of it all. To practice goodwill and joy with sincerity. To live on Monday or Saturday or any other day as we do on Sunday. To do Christmas good each day and not just in December. To study the Bible deeply. To think. To ask and wrestle with the hard questions as we love God with our minds as well as our hearts. And to live a serial Christmas. S-E-R-I-A-L. Filled with goodwill, kindness, fellowship, and joy. I hope that you have the commitment form that you picked up, that many picked up. There are others on the pews if you didn't and you'd like to take one. The commitment form for practicing peace and practicing goodwill. And I hope that you have taken that seriously. It wasn't just for a one-day thing. It is my prayer that you will look at that you will add names to it of persons with whom you need to practice goodwill, even if they don't return it. And that will be a part of our Christmas good because Christmas has changed us. May we pray. God of grace, God of wonder, God of light, as you have changed our hearts and our world in Christmas, help us to do Christmas good each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 590. I'll live for Him. That is our challenge. And if Christmas has truly changed us, it's not over. but it leads us to commit ourselves to following Him. And our altar is open for any who would come to make any decision on His behalf or on behalf of the world, sharing Christmas joy and Christmas good. Number 590, I'll live for Him.